I'm a little bit off balance today, so I've brought two Bibles with me, one for my left hand and one for my right. And if you have yours, please turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 for the reading. It's a beautiful day. It's good to see everyone. And as we step into this lesson, I'd like to share with you on this very best day of the week, the Lord's Day, a beautiful story. But first, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with him, them, in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air." There's a story about the only white person in the state of Georgia that is buried in a cemetery that was reserved for exclusively African Americans. This man's mother died at given birth, and his father chose not to ever marry again and hired a black woman to help raise his only son. Her name, Mandy. She was a Christian woman, and she had taken her task very seriously. Seldom has there ever been a motherless boy that received so much warm-hearted, tender attention. One of his earliest memories was of Mandy bending over the crib in his upstairs bedroom, and at the beginning of each day, she would very softly say, "Wake up, my son, God's morning has come." As the years had passed by, this devoted woman continued to serve as this young boy's surrogate mother. The day came when the young man had went away to college, but still would occasionally return home during the holidays and summer break. Every morning, while standing at the base of the stairs, she would call up to him in that same loving voice, "Wake up, God's morning is come." And then one day, after he had become a successful statesman, the sad message came: Mandy is dead. Can you come attend to the funeral? As he stood at the side of her grave in the cemetery, he turned to his friends and he said, "If I die before Jesus returns, I want to be buried right here next to Mandy. Because I can't help but think that on the resurrection day, she would speak to me again and say, 'Wake up, my boy. God's morning has come.'" As we think about this great day, I want to talk to us just a little bit this morning about what the Bible teaches about the judgment. Men will give an account of their deeds. Just because one does not get punished right on the spot after he commits a sin does not mean that he will never answer to God. So, in this well-doing, let's learn some things about the judgment. The judgment day is to be certain. The Apostle Paul said, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body according to that which he hath done, whether it be good or whether it be bad." That's 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10. Just as surely as me and you live, there will be a judgment day. Are we ready for it? We better be. In the parable of the talents, Matthew chapter 25, if you would like to turn there, shows a king examining the results of both his faithful and unfaithful servants. But in Matthew 25, in verse 14 beginning, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them another 5 talents. And likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained another 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged a hole in the earth, and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that received 5 talents came and brought another 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou hast delivered unto me 5, and behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents, and behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. And his Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things, and I will make thee ruler over many. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew that thee were a hard man, reaping there where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strewed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. And lo, there thou hast is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and lazy servant, thou knewest that I would reap where I sowed not, and gathered where I have not strewed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received my own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it to him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So how are we doing? Are we using our talents like the Lord wants us to? I hope so. You know, there's an assumption among some believers that appears to be that once a person is a Christian, there's no more sins. John proves that false when he recorded in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Chapter 2, verse 1. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. You notice in these four verses the word if. It's the biggest little word in the Bible. If. If God will forgive and remove our sins, but only if we meet his conditions. Being dead to sin does not mean that a Christian never commits sin. It just means sin isn't the Christian's master. But another point that the Bible teaches about the judgment day, it's going to be an appointed day. When Paul preached to the Athenians, he said, and in times, God of this ignorance once winked at, but now commandeth men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man who hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. That's Acts chapter 17 and verse 30 and 31. You and I can have assurance there will be a judgment day. But another thought that the Bible tells us, the judgment will be universal. Everyone will be in the judgment. What's the biggest audience you've been in? This occasion's going to be all. As Jesus pictured the judgment scene, he said, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all of the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and all before him shall be all nations, and he shall separate them from one another, just like a shepherd separates his sheep from these goats. That's Matthew chapter 25 and verses 31 and 32. Are we ready to be separated from the goats, the unrighteous? We better be. Paul stated in Romans chapter 6 that we are all dead to sin if we are in Christ. As a matter of fact, that's the only way that we can be dead to sin. We have to be in Christ. John recorded in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7, but if we walk in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. If someone was to ask us a question, what are we to give account for? What would you tell them? What would your answer be? In the sixth book of the New Testament, Paul penned, so then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. That's Romans chapter 14 and verse 12. Jesus said, in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 36, "But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof." When? The day of judgment. That's Matthew chapter 12 and verse 36. Both of these verses tell us that individuals will give an account. Every idle word, as well as account of his own self, before God. The prophet Isaiah said, "Our righteousness before God is like filthy rags, or we have all become like those who are unclean, and our righteous deeds are like a polluted garment. We fade like a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, carry us away." That's Isaiah chapter 64 and verse 6. The thought of what the prophet recorded is frightening, because all of us have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans chapter 3 and verse 23. The Bible says that when God forgives our sins, He removes them as far as the east is from the west. Atlantic Ocean, East Coast. Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. All the way out there to the west. Cannon Beach, Oregon. It's about 3,000 miles. A long way. If we were able to drill a hole through the middle of this earth to the other side, it would be about 8,000 miles. 8,000 miles. That would be the diameter of the earth. And if we'd plug that in to a calculator and multiply that by pi r square, we'd come up with 25,000 miles all the way around the earth. That's east to west. 25,000 miles all the way around the earth in a circle. I remember in Job chapter 26 and verse 7, Job said that God divided the north and hung the earth on nothing, hung the circle on nothing. As far as the east is from the west, He'll forgive yours and my sins if we repent. So if we're a Christian, what do we account for? Paul gives the answer to that in Romans chapter 2 and verses 5 through 11. "But after the hardness and impenitent heart treasures up unto thyself wrath, the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds, to them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for the glory and honor and immortality, eternal life, but unto them that are conscientious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first and also the Gentile. But glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. For there is no respecter of persons with God. The judgment will not be a group judgment. It's going to be individual in nature. So then every one of us, each of us, is going to give an account to himself, to God. Each one's responsible for our own actions while we live here on this earth. And the judgment will be held, in the judgment we will be held accountable. So said God. So the question before us today, are we pleased with our actions? Are they in harmony with God's words? They better be. Individual judgment. God's interested in the individual. But in addition to that, we'll be judged according to our deeds. John said, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. That's Revelation chapter 20 and verse 12. All things is going to be laid open at the judgment. Do you remember what one of the wisest men in the Bible said in the very last two verses of Ecclesiastes chapter 12? Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Did you know we're going to give account for all undisciplined speech? Jesus said it best right after teaching that blasphemy is against the Holy Ghost, shall never be forgiven. But in Matthew 12 and verse 36 it's recorded, but I say unto you that every idle work that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. That's Matthew 12. And verse 36. The Lord's judgment is going to be thorough and it's going to be complete. Nothing more, nothing less. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. So speak and so act as those who are to be judged by the law of liberty. That's James chapter 2 and verse 12. Another thought that the Bible teaches about the judgment. Christ is going to be the judge. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. That's John chapter 5 and verse 22. Since you and I will be standing before Christ to be judged, don't we think we ought to listen to his words while we live here on this earth? I think we should. But another point the Bible teaches about the judgment. The word of God will be the standard. You know, there's no gray areas in this book. It It's all black and white. If you don't think so, ask Mr. Uzza. God told Uzza not to touch the Ark of the Covenant. They probably put their heads together and thought they'd save themselves a little bit of labor, and they put them poles through them loops and put that Ark of the Covenant up on a two-wheel cart to help carry it. And they was walking along the side of that, moving it, and probably went over a large rock with one wheel, and the cart started to tip. And Uzza done what you would do, and he done what I would do. He put his hand up there to keep that from sliding off, and he touched it. And God struck him dead. God means what he says and says what he means. There's no gray areas in this Bible. Jesus said that he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my word hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. That's John chapter 12 and verse 48. Since the word of God will be the standard by which you and I is going to be judged, we had better obey the teachings in this book. Because this book contains the mind of God, the state of man, and the way of salvation. Its doctrines are holy, its precepts are binding, its histories are true, and its decisions are immutable. Read it to be wise, believe it to be safe, and practice it to be holy. It contains light to direct you, food to support you, and comfort to cheer you. It's the traveler's way, the pilgrim's staff, and the pilot's compass. Here paradise is restored, heaven open, and the gates of hell disclosed. Christ is its grand object, our good is its design, and the glory of God is in. It should fill the memory, rule the heart, and guide thy feet. Read it slowly, read it frequently, read it prayerfully. It is a mine of wealth, a paradise of glory, and a river of pleasure. It's given to us all in life. It will be opened into judgment, and it will be remembered forever. It involves the highest responsibility, rewards the greatest labor, and it will condemn all who trifle against its sacred contents. But there's another content in this book that speaks about the judgment, and that is that there's going to be a reward handed out. Let me say that again. There is going to be a reward handed out in the judgment. For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then shall the reward every man according to his works. That's Matthew chapter 16 and verse 27. Every man, Matthew 16 and verse 27. The reward is either going to be eternal death or eternal life? Which one's it going to be? Is God near to you, or are you keeping him at arm's length? He loves you, and he loves me, and he wants each of us to move closer to him. He is looking for us, and he's waiting. I don't know where you are. I know where I am. I don't know your heart. God does. And God loves every one last of us. And if you're not serving him, he wants you to come to him and receive his blessings in his son. He wants you to receive his blessings in his son. And the blessings will go on into eternity. If you're a Christian, but you've been keeping God at arm's length, you're willing to do a lot, but not enough, I urge you to take down the fence between you and God. And we're here to help you with any need that you may have. If you need to obey the Lord in primary obedience, there's water right back here behind this blackboard. Everything's ready. There's clothing available. It's never going to get any more convenient, any more easier than it is right here now. Won't you please come as we stand and sing the song that's been selected?